Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Afrita Love Show. Give me just a second. Where Jesus shines with love, I am your host on tonight, Dr. Afrita Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited and delighted that each and every one of you have joined. I actually had a show planned, and I am going to answer all of these questions as soon as we finish. So let's go ahead and read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. I read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us with all of the numerous opportunities. We thank you for the people who are online right now. We thank you for each and every just great deed. We thank you for the doors that are open. We thank you for the doors that are closed. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for the growth of the ministry. We thank you for each and everything that you're doing in our lives. We ask that you continue to bless us, to be beacons, and to be lights for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I'm so excited. So we have actually 500 individuals on here tonight, and I am so excited and delighted. So let's go ahead and get started. First of all, let's talk about the book, Living with Faith, Love, and Hope. Okay, so with that book, there was some editing that I had to do. So basically, I had to edit the book, and when I edited the book, my illustrator added a nice, beautiful picture on the front, and then on the back, of course, is the synopsis of the book. So be sure to pick up a copy. Those books should be coming out pretty soon, and I will let you know. I'm going to actually put the link out. When we talk about the leadership book, that book is going great. Now, remember I told you that I'm not going to focus on the aspect of ineffective leadership. I told you that. But I am going to focus on effective leadership, and I have those signed papers that I'm going to add in the book so you can see them and things of that nature. Now then, when we talk about systems, we talk about the structure of the systems. We talk about the systems and how they are created, right? And because they're created in a way that is deviant from the right way, then we have criminals who are just out there, including the superintendent, including all these other people. So within the book, you'll understand systems. You'll have a brief synopsis of the occurrence, but you will have systems, and those systems that we're speaking about are broken systems. But how do we fix those broken systems? Well, we have a plan, and so if we can sell this plan, then we're going to be doing well, okay? All right, so that's with the book. Now then, let's move on to our other book as well. Our other book is, how can I put this? Our other book, because I have a lot of questions about this book. Our other book is entitled The Man of My Dreams. And actually, it should be entitled The Rich Dad. That's what it should be entitled. But when we speak about this book, we're putting into practice the term osmosis, if you will. Osmosis is the ability to just haphazardly happen. So you have this family of seven children, and you have this husband and wife, and you have this husband has what really attracted, I'm going to use myself because I'm putting myself in this story. So what really attracted me to this guy is he's very intelligent, and he has this lucrative business. And so this lucrative business is basically just philanthropy, is that what you say? Philanthropy, yeah. And basically assisting. And so what happens is this gentleman, he has, you know, of course, he's the rich dad. And so there's some women in his company, in his billion-dollar company. Notice I didn't say million, I said billion. Billion-dollar company who basically, they're underrepresented, right? They have so many skills and talents, like, within his company. So many people say, well, what does he do in his company? Well, in his company, they make things. It's a system of things. So some may make cars. Some may sew things. It's just a plethora of things that occur. And so these women are in the organization, and he notices their skills, and when he noticed their skills, you know, every night, that's what our conversation is about. Just, you know, how can I really empower women of this world, women within our community? And so one of the things that we worked collaboratively with is constructing different grants, right? So these grants really help these women blossom into their respective places of whatever talent that they had. So they blossomed into these talents. And so as life was going on, you know, the children, they attend homeschool. They're homeschooled. And the reason why we want them to be homeschooled, as I said before in my excerpt, is because we understand how they learn. And many times, even if you take your child to a private school, you basically get whatever's there. You know what I'm saying? What I mean by that is that you do not have the opportunity to actually select, if you will. So we decided to homeschool, so we interviewed all of these individuals according to what our kids need. And our kids, basically, they need that kinesthetic, they need tactile, they need visual, they need auditory. And with that, we were able to align their needs to their particular instructor, to that teacher. So we were able to do that, and so they were successful. And as you know, in the synopsis, I told you, I said they were able to actually test within a college. And so they tested in the college, and, of course, they passed. When I say they, all of them, all seven of them passed. And they were able to, you know, go on and just not work in, like, the industry, because they're so young. They're, like, you know, 12, 13, 14. But they were able to construct their own business from home. And so you'll see that in the book. But the main gist of it is just the mainstream of education as well. You know, although God has blessed us with this lucrative life and, you know, lavish life and things like that, we still have that work ethic. That work ethic is most important. And so when we look at the work ethic, you know, my decision was to remain in education. And so I did that because I felt a need to remain in education as a leader. So with those particular aspects, you know, this book is coming together pretty good. So that'll be one of our other books that we're going to have. And so with the aspect of just understanding the concept of the structural nature of being able to establish different systems, then we understand that there's more to just getting married. There's more to just having what you have or doing what you do. And so that is the whole gist of that particular book. When we look at other questions, I have some more questions, other questions. Yes, so No. So with this aspect, we have people who call. But with that, the people who are supposed to be in your business, when I say business, I'm speaking about your business as in a business that you're running or your circle, they will remain. They won't be naive. The people who are not, it's good that they don't come back, period. So whether they're calling or not, like immaturely because they're jealous and all that, that doesn't stop the program. You understand what I'm saying? And so when we look at those aspects, we think about the immaturity. We think about, okay, I don't want to be like this as a leader. And it starts from the top. We all know that. It starts from the top. But that answers that question. So what's your other question? Okay, here's some more questions. When I was in the military, there were many different opportunities. There were opportunities to, there were many opportunities to, just to establish many different networks and friendships. And so within that opportunity, I met someone and who was in the military. And we became friends, and we would speak on the phone, write letters. Actually, he was in the, what was he in? He was in the Marines. Yeah, he was in the Marines. And so we would communicate. Then when my training was over, he came to Texas, and we visited. But with that, my main focus at that time was school, because what had occurred was that I had actually signed up for the reserve, and I was accepted into Baylor University, of course, and I wanted to finish my degree. I wasn't ready to get married. I wasn't ready to have kids, anything like that. I wanted to finish my degree. So I finished my degree, and during that time, within that time of my degree, there were many other opportunities as well from the military. But just in speaking with those individuals, they were already ready to jump the broom. They were already ready to have kids. I was like, man, I said, I still, you know, I want to get my doctorate. I want to do all these things. And so the most important aspect that I would say as we're speaking, y'all asking me all these questions, is, you know, you have to make sure that you're ready for whatever you get into. Like, you have to make sure. And so in doing that, you have to prepare, especially when you're preparing for other people. When I say other people, if you're expecting to have a spouse or expecting to have children, then the wise things to do is to push ahead so that you will know kind of what to expect and what to prepare for, if that makes any sense. But in that, in looking at that ordeal, you want to make sure that it's the right person, right? And so with me, one of the things that I tell people a lot is that with me, I wanted someone who was into the church. I wanted someone who knew God, and that is very important. The into the church aspect, we're supposed to dwell in the house of the Lord, but our hearts have to be right. It's a lot of people dwelling in the church, but they're not godly. They're not holy. They're just dwelling. And so you have to be, when you say, I want someone who is godly, that means I want someone who has a relationship with God. Not only does he have a relationship with God, but he has a relationship with his parents. And if they don't have a relationship with their parents, then you can't expect much about your relationship. And so when we speak about those particular things, we have, right, my cousin, we have to make sure that we word everything correctly, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to word something the wrong way. It's like, so that's the aspect of it. You just have to make sure. And so with me, you know, you have to have something going, something positive, something, there has to be something going with you, you know. And so that's the most, I believe that that's probably the most important aspect is you have to have something going for you. And so when looking at all of the different aspects of life and when looking at the measurements of how life should be, then we realize and we recognize that this is the way, you know. And so back to that story, yes. So my cousins here is asking me about these children and how they're dressed. Well, first of all, I want them to dress for success because that's how our parents dressed us. Second of all, I want to make sure that they receive the best education. I love public school. I love private school. I've had the best of both worlds. But in the story, our preference was homeschool because we had the opportunity to actually interview certified teachers and select, handpick the teachers for our children. And that's my dream and that's my goal years from now. You understand? Years from now. That's my dream and that's my goal because I understand that we have a teacher shortage. And so when we send the babies to school, right, there's already, it's already ready-made. And some kids, like our children, they need special teachers. Every teacher is special, don't get me wrong, but they need individualized teachers for their needs, you know. And so I want to make sure that their giftedness, I want to make sure that whatever needs that they have are addressed. And so it's individualized. And so with that in the story, you'll find that we actually compensate our teachers because actually, you know, they're taking out their time, and rather than being a public school or private school, they decided to provide their services to homeschool. So we make sure that their compensation is comparable to the public school and all that. And so we're in this forum with a group of parents who have decided to send their kids to private school. And we were talking about the benefits of private school and homeschool. And, of course, one of the things with private school is it's smaller, but homeschool is more individualized. And I said, public school, private school, and homeschool all have advantages and all have disadvantages. I said, but because of how our children learn, they need their individualized teachers because they're inquisitive. They're going to ask questions. You know, I want them focused. We want them focused on their academics. So within this book, you'll see academics is huge. You'll see some funny parts in there, but academics is huge. And so the way we dress them and the way that we expect them to carry themselves, that's just how it is, and that's how it's going to be. So we value education, but we're more with individualized. And what you'll see in the story is that I'm in a public school because I love public school. Like, I want to work with several people, several individuals. But for the purposes of our children and the purposes of their learning needs and the purposes of their giftedness, we had to homeschool in order to have individualized teachers for each one. So that's why. So you'll hear me say I love public school. We have some great teachers. We have great administrators. We have great superintendents. I love private school. We have some great teachers. We have some great administrators. But for their particular needs, right, in that book, that's why we chose homeschool. Now, one of the disappointments that I had was that out of all seven of our children in the future, out of all seven of them, four of my girls, none of them want to run track, play basketball, soccer, none of that. They're dancers. So the boys, of course, they play sports, football, baseball, basketball, track. Okay, they're excellent. Matter of fact, I have to tell you about them in a few minutes, what they're going to be. But my four girls are dancers, and they're good. They are. And it's not because I'm their coach. It's just natural with them. I don't know. But they're good. You know, they're good in dance, and I'm their coach, you know. And they're in various competitions, and their rationale, you heard in the book, I said, girls, I said, why is it that you don't want to play sports? Well, they gave me a poor excuse, which is they don't want to sweat, but they said that they want to work on their individualized skills and they want to get to know themselves. They said the best part of life is understanding who you are, because when they get out into the workforce, right, they want to know what skills they can bring to the table, because if they're always in groups, right, if they're always with people, which is a sports thing, right, you lose together, you win together. That's how it's played. When you play volleyball, my girls told me when you play volleyball, right, it's not that you win, it's everyone wins, which is good. But when we lose, then everyone loses, right? And so they're very competitive, and they said, I want to be able to bring something to the workforce where everyone will win, even if someone's having a bad day. And so that's their rationale. They want to know themselves. They really want to get in tune to who they are. Now, notice they're triplets, right? But they really want to get into tune to who they are so that when they begin to, for instance, when they begin to interview for different scholarships, when they begin to interview for different jobs, they want to tell the people, I can bring this to your organization, right? They don't want to always say, well, I was in a group and this is what happened. But then I went on to tell them that you have to have teamwork, and they said, we do have teamwork. And I said, how do you have teamwork? They said, we work with our teachers, we work at home, we work with each other. And so they build this relationship among themselves of love, communication, and helping one another. All of that translates when they begin to work. Okay? And so although I was very just devastated because none of them wanted to be athletes, I love the fact they wanted to know who they were, because you have to love yourself. And that goes back to their self-esteem. I said, this is good. I said, because usually, you know, they're fifth and sixth grade. So when they become teenagers, I want them to have high self-esteem. Not arrogant, but I want them to have some self-esteem. I want them to know that sometimes life may throw a curveball, and you have to catch it and you have to keep running. And so that builds self-esteem, which is good. So that was my disappointment in the story, is that none of the girls wanted to play sports. Now, they're also in piano. When I was younger, my sister and I, we took piano classes. We wasn't to the extent that they are, where my girls can listen to music of like Mozart and all of these other famous, Beethoven, all of these other famous, you know, musicians, and they can tell if they missed a note. You'll see in one point in my book where one of my kids says, hey, did I just hear Mozart? And on number one, did he just make a mistake? And the lady's like, yeah, but he kept playing, fingers up. So she's trying to divert the attention off of the mistake, and she says, keep going. And so my girls learn that when you make a mistake, you still keep going. Right? You keep going and you keep pushing through until you reach where you are. And so in this book, you know, our lives is centered around the children. Well, it's centered around God, but it's centered around the children and our close family members. And so, you know, that was very devastating for me. Now, football. So football, you know, we have our three gentlemen, and they are phenomenal in football. In this story, they're excellent. They did take some of my side of sports, but they're excellent in football, at quarterbacks, linebacks, all that. They actually play for a semi-professional team. You know, they're homeschooled, so therefore they're not on a school team, but we enrolled them in a semi-pro youth football league where, as they grow older, they're able to actually try out for a professional team. You know, that's when they become older. But they're excellent. They can run. They can jump. So they're excellent in football. They're undefeated. And the dad and I were just excited. We're happy. We're proud of our boys. And so we give them the opportunity. I give them the opportunity. Do you want to play the piano? Their dad's like, no, they're not playing piano. The boys don't want to play the piano. They said that's for their sisters. No. And actually in the book, they fiercely shake their heads. No, I do not want to play the piano. And they're not. I'm not going to make them play the piano. They are professional drummers, though. I want to tell you that. So you can imagine at the church that we attend, and we'll talk about that on another day, but at the church, they're professional drummers. They're like excellent. They've been approached by many different, you know, groups, professional groups, church groups, who would like for them to be the drummers for them. But we said that they need to focus on their schooling and athletics, and we don't want them to get so famous that they start traveling on the road and forget about school and forget about all these other things. So school is very important for us, as well as church, as well as just being at home with us. So they're drummers, okay? No piano. That's just for the girls. And so they go on to basically try for the professional team, and they actually make the team, okay? As they grow up, as they grow older, they actually make the team. But we sat down and thought about it, and we want them to at least have a master's degree. before they go to the pros. So they continue to practice with this pro team, and then when they graduated, they was automatically drafted. Okay. So with this, you'll see increments. You'll see their growth. You'll see how they grow. And what we're trying to establish is consistency, planning, and just making sure that we put God first, academics, and family. You know, all of those things need to be put in front of our children, and that's how it's going to be. Now, with the aspect of just my field of education, I'm going to continue. I will always be in education. And, of course, with FEM, what I didn't tell you in the story is that let's rewind a little bit because I got ahead of myself. All seven of our kids, right, I wrote this particular movie, and it was a number one hit seller, and the characters I used – all of our children, I put the characters in there. They was in the story. And so although I'm in education as a leader, I'm also a screenwriter. I'm also a producer of films. And so my husband and I were speaking, right, speaking about how can we actually help youth and help film writers. And so, of course, we set up this particular organization, nonprofit, where we collaboratively teach classes about film, budgeting, casting members, how to properly write a script, how to properly write a book, what you need in those things. And so we had all of those things together. And so we were able to help individuals who were interested in going into film right after they graduated from school. And also we were able to help individuals who were already out of school who was interested in film. And so we received grant money, and we also were able to pay those individuals for creating films. And so, of course, that was great. And so in the story, you'll see many different things highlighted. You'll see just great things. And the only thing, as I said before, that really broke my heart was when none of my girls wanted to play sports. That was really a heartbreaker. So as we're, I'm going to back up again, because within the story, our ancestors, we have background from Brazil. So as we're going about our life and as we're at some of our children's game, my husband gets a phone call. This phone call is from his dad, who who's in Brazil. He calls him his dad, who was in Brazil. And he asked him, he said, look, he said, we've just had a huge famine in Brazil. And he said, you know, I really need your help. And so there is a decision to be made, you know. Do we leave this huge city and go to Brazil to help, or do we remain in the city and hire a team of workers to go and help Brazil? And so you'll see that particular story take place, and you'll see the conflicts within that, because we have certain values that we do things together and with the children and all that. And so what you'll find is a lot of problem solving. You know, we problem solve this. And so we send workers, right? And when school's out in the summer, we take the kids and they go with us to Brazil, and we do what we call missionary work or service. And that way they learn how to give back to the community, right? Because they particularly, they get pretty much what they want. But we want to teach them to work for what they want as well. So this is a book that's a futuristic book. And I work on this book every night. I also need to be studying as well and things like that. But I work on this book every night because that is what we expect. That is what I expect from my children in the future. And so you have to already visualize that. And so when I go back to thinking about all those opportunities that I had, all those times I was asked when I was 19, 20 years old, you know, I'm glad that I wasn't just like, I have to do this. No, you have some time. You have some time. You need to plan this stuff out. Because as you know, as we began to look at our budget, right, then we realized that budgeting, although you have, you know, and God has blessed you and everything, but seven children, you know, one child is like a million, right, because they want to, you know, they have this dance thing, they have things that they need to do, they have to go places, and all of these things. So you have to budget for all of that. You know, it's not just like, oh, by the way, you know. And so all of these things are in the book, but it's an excellent, excellent book, and it's a depiction of what the future will bring. So I'm really excited about that book. I'll be bringing some more things on and creating some more visuals, because those visuals are going to be in the book. But I'm just so excited that we have many different projects going on. I'm going to start studying again. I have a couple of tests I need to take. And, I mean, God is just good. He's just blessing us, you know, with this film. And I'm making more films, and I'm writing. And I've actually had a couple of producers, you know, ask about some writing. And I'm going to be doing some writing on the side. And, you know, that's part of my hobbies besides running, spending time with my family and things like that. That's part of the hobby that I love to do. And so that's just what it is. And so what else? Okay. So, yes, we're still planning for our reunion. And we have several different places. Somebody just put Brazil. Okay, you know what? Yeah, we can. Let's go ahead and go to Brazil. Somebody put Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, cool. Okay, so we're doing all of that. But anyways, that's what we're doing. And so I just heard from a producer here. So, okay, as far as the food, I think we already have pretty much all the food that we need. We have an abundance of food, so that's good. Okay, so what else do we have? Let me see. I'm looking through. I answered that question. The piano? Yeah, so my mom enrolled us in piano classes like when I was in second and third grade. And one of the aspects that I remembered in piano classes is if our fingers were not, if they were incorrect, then our pianist would get a pencil and tap us on the fingers. Okay? And so that kind of made us resentful of just playing the piano, but we still did. And so I made a point that when my girls play the piano, you know, let them know, hey, that's the wrong key, and fix their fingers first, because I don't want them to hate piano classes because every time they make a mistake, tap with a pencil or something like that. But, you know, piano is important, just like dance is. So if they understand, or if anyone understands music and dance, then they'll pretty much be okay. Let me see what else. As far as working out, I didn't work out today because I was working on donating some things to an organization. But I'm definitely going to be with tomorrow, God's will. Most definitely. If you have not been able to see my YouTube page, then go to YouTube and type in "I Free to Love," and you'll be able to see some things that you'll be able to see some things that I've been working on as far as dance and all that good stuff. Okay, what else? So my book should be coming out pretty soon, and I'll be sure to publicize it. I'll be sure to give it to you. Okay. So is that it? So actually, we have an interview on tomorrow. So with that, I want you to join me on tomorrow for this particular interview. And I thank you so much for listening. Be sure, if you want to be on the International Radio Show, to be sure to email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on this particular radio show. This is an international radio show. In addition to that, continue to pray for yourselves, pray for each other, pray for those you know and you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Let's see here. And that's it. Is that okay? If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up, because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Afrida. Love.